Good morning. My name is John Waits, and I'm the honorary curate here at St. Margaret's in Chipstead. This is the Book of Common Prayer Holy Communion service for the Sundays after Easter up until Pentecost. We start with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The prayer of preparation. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and all thy strength, and all thy mind. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. The Collect for the Sovereign. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Charles, our King and Governor, that he, knowing whose minister he is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all his subjects, duly considering whose authority he hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey him in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Now we have the Collect. The Lord be with you, and thy spirit. Let us pray. The Collect for the seventh Sunday of Easter, being the Sunday after Ascension Day. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. We beseech you, leave us not comfortless, but send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to the place where our Saviour Christ is gone before, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever.
Today's reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, beginning chapter 1, verse 6. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go up into heaven. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath's day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is the word of the Lord.
The second lesson is from John chapter 17, beginning at the first verse. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They are yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We say our creed together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now we have the sermon. Good morning. I wanted to preach today because it's going to be the end of one chapter in my life again here at Chipstead, as in a couple of weeks' time, Hannah Gordon will have been installed as a rector and she'll be taking the services from the 4th of June. This is going to be a new beginning after what seemed to have been a 2 or 3 year interregnum, and add to that the COVID restrictions. So I want to reflect on that using, rather surprisingly, a sermon I preached 20 years ago when we were preparing for the interregnum for John Gooden. But first, I hear you say, you want me to speak about the two readings for this morning. They are about the two most difficult subjects for any preacher to have to tackle, the Ascension and the start of Jesus' high priestly prayer. Rather strangely, I've been haunted by the Men of Galilee and the Ascension for about a month. It all started with a Sunday morning religious service broadcast from Rugby School that we heard here at home. At the end of it, Carol and I both looked at each other and thought we'd heard about the best all-time great sermon. It was based on the end of St Mark's Gospel. It was about the disciples and Peter being told that Jesus was going before them into Galilee and that they would see him there. The chaplain explained that Galilee had been the place of Jesus' ministry amongst the ordinary folk of Galilee, fishermen, tax collectors, soldiers, etc., and a great variety of women. His point was that his listeners were to have a ministry amongst the Christian fellowship as well, surrounded them. It was the ordinary people that they were to be dealing with and finding Christ there in the other people around them. Well, the word Galilee stuck in our memories, and it was perhaps spooky that we found ourselves on holiday in Venice and in a room that had associations with Galileo, as in Galilee, Galileo. His full name was actually Galilei Galileo. Galilei is the Greek for Galilee. And his disciples were famously told in Acts chapter 1 that he would, that they stood there looking up into the sky. Galileo did, of course, with his newly invented telescope. So it was all rather strange coincidence compounded in my poor little mind with the text for today. It was about Galilee. It'd be the Galileo, the Ascension, looking up to the sky. Well, the great Scottish theologian, William Barclay, writes that the Ascension is far and away the most difficult incident in the life of Jesus, and for that reason it's extremely unusual to hear a sermon about it. So, my friends, you lucky people, fasten your seatbelts, you're going to hear a rather short reference to a sermon on Ascension. Because despite its key importance in the life of Jesus and our Christian faith, there's actually only one authentic account of the Ascension, and that's the one we've heard this morning in Acts by Luke. It was obvious that Jesus' personal earthly ministry would have to come to an end at some point. And the Bible records at least 8 appearances of the resurrected Jesus to different people at various times and locations over a 40-day period. These included various groupings of women, disciples, according to Paul, 500 followers. But those appearances would have to stop, obviously. Now, if the New Testament writers were looking for a precursor to the Ascension, it was in 2 Kings chapter 2 with the story of Elijah and the chariots of fire. And even Enoch has a parallel. In Enoch chapter 5, in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, having walked with God, Enoch was seen no more, because God had taken him away. As the writers of the birth stories of Jesus drew on Old Testament imagery and prophecy, so Luke draws on the existing imagery to describe Jesus being taken to be with God. What's of crucial importance is that a significant event should occur to close one chapter of the Christian story so that the next great chapter could start. And the next event is, of course, Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit that enables the Christian message to be taken so successfully across the world. The second reading is from St. John's Gospel and was described by Archbishop William Temple in his great book on St. John's Gospel as perhaps the most sacred passage even in all 4 Gospels. He describes it as the record of the Lord's prayer of self-declaration, as it lived in the memory and imagination of his most intimate friend. Bishop Tom Wright writes that he once heard an actor read the whole of John's Gospel, and when he came to this passage, he knelt down and prayed. Used as a prayer. It is prayer. It sounded and felt like a prayer then, sounds and feels like a prayer to us. This is not simply a theological treatise that John has put together with ideas and placing them on Jesus' lips. In essence, Tom Wright says, the prayer draws together everything that the gospel story has been about up to this point. In particular, the very fact of Jesus' prayer is that it is a living embodiment of that intimate union with the Father of which we have heard so much. This is one of those passages in the Bible which are not to be analysed and pored over, looked at in books, but needs to be felt. I've read so much about this passage, but what has most impressed me is when I experienced it in an extraordinary evening in the Temple Church in London. Sir John Taverner and written a piece of music based on this prayer and other spiritual prayers like it. It lasted 6 hours. We went into the temple church at 10 o'clock in the evening, and we came out at 4 o'clock in the morning, led by the choir at dawn. That experience was in July 2003, and is still very fresh in my memory. I would therefore just say, take this passage from St. John's Gospel, read it, turn it over in your minds, and let it seep into your soul. You won't need any more explanation than that. So there you have the two big pictures of glory. But I want to finish by looking not at glory and heaven, but at glory and the kingdom of God. You see, I believe that we can see God's glory on earth around us. It's our prayer that we will help bring in the kingdom of God. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. Now, this is the fourth interregnum that I've been involved in, and at the start of each one, I've preached pretty much the same sermon, which I call No Passengers. I like the image of the roof timbers of the church being like the timbers in a boat. In fact, the French get the word, they use the word nef, N-E-F, and it's from that word that we get the English word nave. And if you look up into the church roof, you'll see it looks like a boat turned up, ready to be built. But St. Margaret's is a very special kind of boat. It is a battleship and not a cruise liner. We're a battleship for the Lord. And we are all active crew members. We're all engaged in a fight for the hearts, minds and souls of the world. On the good ship St. Margaret's, there are no passengers. And there are no passengers because you all have gifts that you need to use. Now, there's a very important point, and I've made at the start of each of the interregnums. The success of the interregnum will be judged by how well the new rector settles into the parish in, say, 6 months. How will Hannah be doing? How settled will she be? How successful and helped will she be at Christmas time? It won't be a matter of just a short sprint. We're in this for the long term, and we'll get an understanding at Christmas time, perhaps, of what's going on, how she's being supported and loved by us. So, what I pray is that she will find a parish that is well run, united in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and where the gifts of every member are being discovered and used for God's purpose. And now is not the time for the crew to abandon ship. We cannot now just heave a huge sigh of relief and let Hannah get on with it. Over the last few years, a strong team of church wardens, ministry team, PCC, a whole bunch of people have kept the ship afloat. But there is more to the calling of a Christian parish than just to keep the ship afloat. Every ship needs a captain. Every parish needs a rector to provide a strategic input and leadership and love. I'm enormously excited by Hannah's appointment to the parish. We know her, as she's preached here a couple of times, and she's highly thought of by colleagues in the diocese. She will be a blessing to the parish, and I trust that we will be a blessing to her. So, we must now discern afresh what the Spirit is saying to the Church of St. Margaret's in Chipstead, Hooghly, Mugswell and Nethern. We're all in this together, led by Hannah and supported by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For our church notices, please have a look at the church website, but also, very, very important, make a note in your diary of May the 30th, when we have the institution of the Reverend Hannah Gordon as the Rector of Chipstead. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where the rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through to steal. All things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Come to the intercessions. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church, militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee continually to inspire the universal Church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word, and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, and specially thy servant Charles, our king, that under him we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto his whole council and to all that are put in authority under him that they may truly and impartially administer justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we must humbly beseech of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. Let me just take a moment to bring before God those whom we would especially commend today. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. And a prayer for our rector that we're going to be saying, I hope, through till May the 30th. We praise and thank you, loving God, for sending us Hannah to be our rector. May she pastor us, teach us, and lead us, that together we may be your people and this parish a sign of your kingdom. As she prepares for this new challenge, prepare us also to receive her, that together we may know your will for us in the parish of Chipstead, and by your grace respond with eager joy to the challenge of the future. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make a humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins of wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts, we lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is meet and right so to do. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel, command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread. When he gave thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he gave thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy heart by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Drink this remembrance that Christ died for thee, and be thankful. Amen.
The blood of Christ given for you.
Amen. As our Lord, Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious death and blood of thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we must humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. We come to the Gloria. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. So may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be with you, your family, your friends, all those whom you love, be with you today, and remain with you always. Amen.